not see your heart and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you as well. Heavenly Father, thank you for your words today that we need to hear once again. We've heard them before. But just like when it comes to teaching and training our children, sometimes we repeat ourselves over and over again and say, how many times have I had to say this to you? And Lord, I'm thankful that you probably have said that a few times with each of us. That you've given us your word to instruct us and to help us on this journey through life, that we keep our eyes on you. May that be the case this morning as well. May we see Jesus in a way that we've never seen him before. Through your word, we pray in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Worry. We all go through it. We all embrace it. We all do it. You know, some of you are worried about how long I will preach already. Worry is in the midst already. Worry, I've always seen worry, I've read this somewhere, it's like a good rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but you don't go anywhere. You think on that a little bit, it's very true. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't do any good. It's like a rocking chair, you don't go anywhere. And yet that's probably the place you like to sit the most, is a chair that rocks. Here's another saying that says, true patience means waiting. True patience is waiting without worry. Now think on that for a little while. True patience means waiting without worry. Another one is, every tomorrow has two handles. We can't take hold of it. I mean, we can take hold of it by the handle of anxiety or by the handle of faith. And the last one here this morning is, instead of counting your blessings, many people magnify their problems. Is that where you find your heart in your life this morning? You know, you think about all the things going on in your life that aren't so hot, not so good, rather than counting the blessings that you do have. Once upon a time, I was a chaplain with hospice, and going to some of the facilities and homes, one of the songs that I would ask if I could sing to them would be, Count Your Many Blessings. And I would say, you know, this is easier said than done. But there's truth in the words to the song. You know, you may not feel like it. You may not even want to. But everyone can think of blessings that God has done or is doing in his or her life. And I've never had anybody turn me down to say, don't sing it. But I'm not going to sing it for you today. I just want to bring that point out. Jesus spoke about worry in the Sermon on the Mount. And back in Matthew chapter, 5, 6, and 7. It's really the longest sermon that's recorded in the scriptures of Jesus speaking. The Sermon on the Mount. And it doesn't end with just the beginning, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It's a couple of, two, three chapters long. But he refers to worry in that sermon. And in that sermon, he speaks of the birds of the air, whereby Luke specifically uses ravens or anything in the crow family. You know, come, come, come. That's a crow. A raven has a different kind of a sound, but they are seen by ornithologists, those are the guys who study birds, or people who study birds, what they're called, that ravens and crows are very smart birds. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You know, and they're scavengers. You know, they don't really come to the bird feeder to get seed that you put out there. Sometimes they bring with them dead things that they picked up and they leave them in your little bird bath. And you go like, those gross crows, they do those things. And we think of Jesus, out of all the birds he could have chosen, why not some songbirds? But he says ravens because they have they're smart. Just happened to watch on the Discovery Channel just yesterday. It was all the national parks in the United States, and here they had an osprey that had gone down and grabbed a big old fish right out of the lake and lands on top of a rock. And guess who is watching this whole thing take place? It's a raven. And once the raven sees the osprey grab the meal, it went and just kind of played with the osprey until the osprey laid down the fish and played out the osprey, and then the raven went back and got the fish. And that's kind of what they are like. They're smart, but they are scavengers, and they like eating roadkill along our highways, as you sometimes see them as you drive here, even in Iowa, as people hit rabbits and other things. I've never seen a dead possum until I came to Iowa. And there's a lot of them. I haven't seen one up close, and I just go like, what was that? And I never stopped to get a close-up look, but I don't think you want those crawling around your place. One of the things that Jesus talks about here when he refers to ravens and birds is that they don't sow or reap or store away anything in barns or granaries. And yet it says that the Heavenly Father feeds them and cares about them. And he specifically then refers to his disciples and the people that are there of saying to them, you are more valuable than a crow. You're more valuable than a raven. You're more valuable than any bird. Reminds me of someone a few weeks ago I talked to that he was talking about having to shoot some sparrows in his garden because they're flocking around eating their things. And then he goes, and then of all the things, on Sunday, they sang what we sang today. His eye is on the sparrow. And he goes, I guess I'm not shooting any sparrows. God knows when every sparrow hits the ground. He knows the hairs on your head. We are valuable in his sight. Sometimes we lose sight of that, of how valuable we really are. Now think of the disciples who have left everything to follow this man named Jesus. They left their fishing nets, some of them. Some of them left their tax collecting booth. But they left everything to follow this guy. And so you'd have to be thinking like, so where is our next meal going to come from and from whom? They would have to walk by faith in following Jesus. And that's really kind of one of the points here in the text today, is that we walk this journey in life by faith. A lot of things we don't know all the details to. The disciples, they're just ordinary men like people like you and I are. And, you know, we'd say like, well, if we follow this guy, then we're going to be eating at somebody's house. And does the person we're going to stop at, do they know we're coming? And then who's going to pay for it? Well, that's why we got Judas in the group. He's the treasurer. He'll take care of paying for it. But think of taking baths and washing clothes and trimming their fingernails or toenails or keeping their hair clean. We sometimes just follow disciples thinking they're perfect people. But they're like you and I. They needed those kinds of things to be done in their lives just like we do. Little things, but important. Now, if you ladies did never have to have your hair done, wouldn't that be great? But you know that every time your hair is done, you feel like $1 million. My mom says, don't call me on Fridays from this time to this time because that's when I get my hair done. And when she gets it done, she goes, I feel so much better. And you ladies can relate to that. Us guys, we just kind of go, well, it's time to get my ears lowered. We go get a haircut and we go like, okay, that feels better. Well, for some of you that like short hair. But that's just kind of the way it is. God is going to provide, and so we're not to worry. And yet we find ourselves worrying a lot about a lot of different things. Some of you that have health issues or are looking at going to the doctor, that worries you. Some of you have children who are out on their own or just going to be leaving the nest, and that worries you. Some of you kids are going back to school, and you're kind of worried about that. And what that's going to be like. But there's worry all over the place. And what I want to give to you today is something that can be hopefully helpful for you, because worry is destructive. I just want you to know that. It's, worry is very destructive, and sometimes we just don't really see it that way. The word worry is an old Anglo-Saxon word, English word, that means, get this, to strangle. It's a word that means to strangle in the old English word. In the Greek, it is translated as being anxious or to be torn apart or having a doubtful mind. Is a picture of a ship being tossed in a storm. Get that? The word worry, like you're just all over the place. You don't know what's going to happen, and there's fears that go along with that, and you just go like, oh my, I don't know what's going to happen in my life. But as you think about the word strangle, the old English word, we read in the same book of Luke, in chapter 8, the parable of the sower. Some of you are familiar with that passage. And there it talks about that the seed, which is the word of God, that falls into the places where there is the thistles, and it grows and it gets choked out. Choked out is the word for worry. Strangled. And anyone who is a farmer knows that if seed goes where there's a bunch of thistle growing up, you're not going to get much of a yield there, if anything. And it makes you mad at those thistles. Jesus interprets for the disciples, because they didn't understand the parable, and he says, you know, the seed is the word of God, it's those who hear it, and they go on their way in life, and as time goes on, that word gets choked out by life's worries and riches and pleasures, and how true that can be. Corrie Ten Boom, who was in a concentration camp in World War II, she says this, that worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength. I'll just say that again. From someone who is in a concentration camp in World War II, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength. And if you think of that, worry does that. You get so caught up in worrying about this and that, that you forget about the good of what's happening today or what happened yesterday. And Jesus tells the disciples that there's nothing that any one of us can do to add time to our life. Worry doesn't add any time to your life, but it robs you of the good things that God has done for you or is doing for you. So worry is also deceptive. Not only destructive, but it is deceptive. Worry convinces us that life is made up of what we eat and of what we wear. And it's like, it's not true. How much of your time is thinking about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat? You know, you say, well, what's for dinner? What's for supper? What's for lunch? Well, let's go here, let's go there. Well, what do we have to wear to go there? And if you go shopping, it's usually for food or for something to wear. Now, you ladies, you probably shop for purses after you've got, how many do you already have?
Yes.
Shoes, I mean, how many pairs do you have? Or some of you guys are probably right up there with them, I don't know. Worry. You come to church, you go someplace else, how's my hair? Worry about what my hair is like. Worry blinds us to the world around us and the way that God cares for His creation. God cares for you regardless of what you are wearing or what you eat. He loves you, cares about you very much. Jesus directs the disciples' attention then to lilies. I brought with me here it's right by my lilies. And Solomon, being the wisest man in the world, and he must have dressed pretty fancy, schmancy. But Jesus said that even Solomon and all of his wisdom and what he wore is nothing compared to the lilies of the field, the way that lilies look. I don't know if some of you have ever stopped to look at some of the buds in the springtime of some of these flowers, like irises. You know, they're like a little bud and the flower's kind of twisted in there. And when it blossoms, it kind of just unfolds and you get a flower that's like, man, that's beautiful. How does it do that? A rose is a bud. But all of a sudden, it comes apart and it gets bigger and bigger and it just unfolds and it's a beautiful, beautiful flower. That's just like only two flowers out of how many gazillion there are in the world. God has a way of giving us variety and beauty where He shows that He loves His creation and He loves us even more than that. If He can take care of bringing flowers into being, He can take care of us as well. So it's not so much that Jesus is talking about that the problem is with God's creation, that's all taken care of, but it's with the faith we have in Him. Oh, you have little faith. Why do you worry when I'm doing all these things around and about you and you know that you could care less? We just take a lot of things for granted. So worry also brings doubts. And that's, of course, is just kind of one of the tricks that the devil likes to use in our lives. Wants us to doubt God, that He isn't who He says He is. He brought doubt to Eve in the garden and to Adam, where He just said, go ahead, just eat that fruit. The only reason God doesn't want you to eat that fruit there is because you'll become like Him. You'll become wise. If He can create doubt, He gets us to do things that we normally would not do. The last point is worry is not trusting in God. And that's really the remedy when it comes to worry. It is trusting in who God is. Trusting in His Word. It's all about your heart. Where is your heart in relationship to God? Because if our heart is fixed on the things that are in this world, then there will always be worry. If we're caught up in the world around us, we will just always be worried. And that's what the pagans run after. Pagans are just basically unbelievers. people that live their lives without God, they run after other things because they think it's important. We call it probably the Hollywood crowd, or sometimes like even the professional athletes. You think like they've got everything. They've got all the money they could ever have. And yet, what do they have? You look at them for a role model, you're going to be disappointed. You have some that run out and have affairs. You have those that get divorces. You have those that live a lifestyle that just because of money. And so it becomes a curse rather than a blessing to them. And Jesus warns his disciples, just says, you know, he cautions them, do not behave like the pagans. The remedy for worry is to seek God's kingdom first. For it is when we seek God's kingdom first, then we have the peace of God. And the scriptures tell us in Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7 that it is the peace of God that guards your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, worry is the opposite of having peace. Many people are looking for peace with God and try this thing and try that thing and run here and run there. And when really God just says, I am who I am. Put me in the center of your life. And you'll see this peace. You'll experience this peace. And this love that you don't know anything about. And you'll feel your heart and your life that will overflow and touch others around you. So what are you worried about here today? Any worries? Now, let me come a little bit down here, a little more personal. Who's got a worry today that you'd be willing to share? Way back there. You got a worry?
Yeah. I worry about having
the
surgery.
Okay, sure. And that's just being human, isn't it, Karen? No. But you have other people here who'll be praying for Wayne and for you this week. But yeah, we have worries. It's kind of the human side of us. Anybody else have a worry? Okay.
My mother fell last night, so I'm worried about her.
Okay, yeah. So do you need to worry? We just prayed, Lord, you know Mom fell down, and she's not as strong as she used to be, and I just put her in your hands, and I'm glad I can be here for her. Use me however you can. There's somebody over here that worry?
Worry about our country and those mass shootings.
Yeah, sure. Our country, mass shootings that go on. Oh, yeah. Think they'll ever end? But you know, our hope is in the Lord. That one day we will not have to deal with these kinds of things. If we seek God's kingdom first, all that we have around us, the things that we're caught up worrying about, just think one day it'll never exist. Heaven is a place where there's no worry. And sometimes we just say, come Lord Jesus, like quickly. I'm kind of tired of all this stuff that I hear about and what goes on in this world. And that's where our faith is so important in the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us a whole different perspective than what we otherwise would have. And so today, I mean, we know worry isn't good. And we can say today, I'm not going to worry anymore. Liar, liar, pants on fire. We're going to still worry. And God understands that we do. And he's there for us when we do. And we just say, Lord, like the centurion at the cross, I believe, but help my unbelief. There are going to be days where we do that too. I believe, but help my unbelief. I know you can answer prayer, but I don't know if you're hearing me. But God does, because His Word says so. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you in reminding us that worry does not add anything into our lives. That worry just does the opposite of what peace with you does. It's destructive. It brings doubts. And Lord, it is only your peace that keeps us trusting. It's an anchor that will keep us from running into the rocks and the storms of life. And your anchor, Lord, will hold all the time in any situation that we go through in life. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ is that anchor. And if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus as his or her personal Savior, then they don't have an anchor. Their life is just letting the waves and the wind push them here and push them there. And it's dangerous. Lord, speak to hearts this morning. May we leave today knowing that my anchor holds because Jesus is that anchor.